Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά. Βρείτε περισσότερες ενδιαφέρουσες ιστορίες στο sbs.com.au/greek.
Hi listeners and possibly viewers, my name is Themis Kalos and I'm here on behalf of the Greek language program of SBS Radio. Sydney Olympic Football Club, dear friends, is one of Australia's most historic football institutions, a club that has carried the passion of its supporters for decades, both in the former NSL, National Soccer League, and today in the NPL New South Wales. Now, as the club prepares to enter a new era with its confirmed participation in the National Second Tier competition, known to many as the B League, we are joined by the club's president, Damon Hanlin, to talk about this exciting new chapter, the current state of the club, and what lies ahead. Damon, many thanks, first of all, for being with us today here at SBS.
Much appreciated, Timmy. Thank you for having me.
I have to admit, this interview has been long in the making, as they say, and we are grateful that at last you found the time to come here to record this interview.
Thank you for your patience, and I look forward to today.
Now, where to start? Initially, I wanted to talk about Sydney Olympic as a Greek language program. Yes. However, once I informed other arms of the organization that you're going to be here, I had prepared questions for the in the second part for the B League.
Okay.
But they said, Themi, the big interest is the B League. So I'm going to start with that, if it's okay.
Of course.
This new competition, it will start, I believe, in October this year, 2025. Sydney Olympic has secured its participation. And my understanding, Damon, is that you personally fought very hard and placed a lot of money for Olympic to be there. So can I ask, what motivated you to pursue Sydney Olympic's inclusion in this new league?
Okay, that's a great question. The championship, as it is now called, and before that, obviously, the B-League, as you refer to, came to my attention about 5 years ago when I was at the club and working away in the NPL situation. It catches my attention for many reasons, but the main one is because I think Sydney Olympic as a club deserves to be at the highest level possible. And this is a competition that will create that opportunity. So when they presented the early days of the competition, I could see many opportunities, and I took it.
What is your expectation from this new competition, and how do you believe this will contribute, if I can say, to the uplifting of football in Australia?
Again, I think this competition, because it's on a national platform, and even though it's in its infancy now, and the two main states are Victoria and New South Wales, but it will grow. We're aware of that with the FA. It will bring a platform, what they call the pyramid system, and bring us one touch closer to the A-League. It'll drive investment and into the game. It'll drive opportunity for younger players to play at the highest level possible. It also gives us an opportunity as a club to move players around at our beck and will. Okay, and at the moment, it's very difficult. We invest a lot of money at the NPL level, but the returns are not there for those player developments. So the championship will give us that opportunity.
We will talk about money a bit later when we will discuss at length for Sydney Olympic. How is Sydney Olympic, the club, preparing its squad and coaching staff for this new level of competition?
Yeah, we've been preparing probably for the last 2 years with our squad. So if you know the in-depth rules and regulations of the new competition, a lot of the player group has to be below 23 years of age. So whilst we've been taking a little bit of pain in the state competition, we've been preparing very young players. And this year in particular has been our youngest squad ever that I've been at the club. Obviously that takes a little bit of a toll when you play the more seasoned veteran clubs, but we're also producing players now that are ready for professional football, and we have some gems. The coaching staff are the same. I've been very strong-willed in supporting my coaching staff. I believe we have the best in the business. They're delivering excellent results both on and off the field, and their passion towards the club is extraordinary.
How will the participation in this new competition change the structure of operation of the club?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the new license, that is the championship, sits with FA and will be an SPV. Okay, so in a special purpose vehicle, a separate entity away from the members club. And I'm very open about that. There's multiple reasons for that. Obviously, there's a large investment that goes into this, and it needs to be protected at all levels. And secondly, the way it operates needs to be a more commercial operation as opposed to what the New South Wales Football Association provides.
So to make it simple, you're thinking of creating a new entity?
We have created a new entity away from...
The Sydney Olympic as we know it today.
Yes.
So what is the new entity called?
It is Sydney Olympic Football Club.
But it's something else.
It's just a proprietary limited, so by legal governance, meaning that it's just a private entity as opposed to a public. We're limited as a club.
Currently. Currently, as the structure is today, so I can have a full understanding. Does Sydney Olympic have any paid members? And I'm not talking about the season ticket holders. I'm talking about the paid members. Do they have?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Annually?
Yes.
Oh, how many? I thought there were none.
No, we have members. I've heard some of that chat around. We have paid members. We have life members. We have a list. We check it every year. It is diminishing because of some of the group and age. They are always invited to every AGM.
Okay.
I think, don't hold me to that number, but it was circa 280 members.
Okay. But what secures you as the main money provider and the main shareholder, if I can put it in those terms?
Well, nothing really. I mean, I obviously, as being the president, is just by a vote. You have three members at the board.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
The members come each year and are asked as a proxy to vote at the AGM. We try our best to communicate with everybody and tell them that the AGM is there. And most years, we get a balance, you know, between 80 and 100 people turning up.
Because for the last 10, 15, if not more years, the boards of Sydney Olympic have been appointed. They have not been the product of elections of members, if I'm correct.
Yeah. So what I do is I do it a little bit differently. So I was originally appointed by Bill at the time, who was the president, and was a board.
Your predecessor?
My predecessor. And since then, I've decided that I prefer to put it back to the members where possible and ask them for their vote of confidence in me. I present the financials that are produced every year and audited by BDO. So everybody is transparent, and they always put their hand up so far. And in my favour, say to continue.
So if someone knocks the door of Sydney Olympic today and says, "I want to become a member," the Sydney Olympic, as we know it today in the NPL, is the membership open?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
That's very good to know.
Yes.
So the new entity is going to be private, in simple words.
Yes. I'm 100% shareholder at the moment. It's well known. It's I'm transparent, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of that is to protect for multiple reasons. But that's the structure at the moment.
So, in the future, we will have one structure participating in the NPL and another in the new competition.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if there's anything more to say about that. I think we said it in very simple words for everybody to understand. Do you believe this new competition will serve as a genuine bridge to the A-League or even spark a promotion relegation in Australian football?
I wholeheartedly do, yes. If anything, I actually refer to this as a bit of a disruptive competition, particularly with the A-League. I believe 100% that this competition needs to have a promotion relegation. Australian football needs that. And the simple fact is, it's still business. You need to drive investment into any business to get it to grow and to be exciting. And the only way to really do that is to fight for your spot, okay? That's sport. So we're in the business of sport. So I think promotion relegation for our game, and it's very successful around the globe. I know people always point to certain markets like the US, which doesn't have it. But predominantly in Europe, where it's a powerhouse, everyone's promoted and relegated.
Have you secured any assurances from the FA Football Australia, FA?
No, we don't, and it's never been put to the table in an open forum like that, but it's always been a topic of discussion. I think that the A-League itself is obviously finding itself in its own position, and I support it in terms of what it needs to be doing for Australian football, but the pyramid system needs to be fairer. Even if at the moment it doesn't have promotion and relegation, the fair test needs to be around being able to have players that we can trade and the club can be commercialised through that process.
Okay. Do you foresee any impact on the club's role in the NPL or other state competitions once the so-called B-League begins?
I only think it strengthens it. Our vision, again, with this is that the NPL space becomes an academy space, okay, and are producing players for the championship. So in the first few years, this is a bit complicated. You know, it's a lot of football to be played this year. And, you know, until the competition becomes a fully standalone competition, there'll be players moving up and down. But the whole idea of this is then is that Sydney Olympic, from the juniors all the way through, are producing talent like it used to do for the main stage, which at the moment will be the championship. And that's our whole intent.
Damon, I have to admit, listening carefully to everything you say about this new competition, I conclude that you gave it a very thorough thought and you gave big attention, apart from the money, I presume, which you don't want to reveal how much it was. Am I correct in this conclusion of mine?
Yes. I spent a lot of time and probably a lot of people don't know that this has been a passion of mine for many years, and I spend a lot of time previously behind my work, which is my real job during the day. And, I've spent a lot of time professing over how this will look and how this will work. We've studied it very carefully. And I think the biggest thing for me when I adapt to anything is I truly, when I believe in something, I will see it all the way through. And this is no different. And I'll see it's a success.
Now, to many of us, this is also a comeback of the real giants of Australian football. And I have to put it in these terms, the historical clubs, which are heavily associated with migrant communities.
Yes.
Do you think it's a revival or something in that sort?
Yeah, I do. I think it's like it's a story that has been forever and a day, you know, where you've been at the top, you fall back down and then you fight back up. It's a great story of sport. I think the fact that it is migrant-based is the essence of football, yeah? They bring passion, they bring stories, they bring hardship. It's all conveyed into a football field. And honestly, when you look at all the footage of historical games and the like, we monster what is today the AEL League, but people don't realise that. And I remember as a child going to games and just being in awe.
Possibly with your dad, like most of us.
Yeah, my father would drag me on a Sunday to St. George Stadium many times, yes.
Now, we have given about 12 minutes to discussing the B-League. I don't know if there's anything else you want to say about that, because I want to discuss now about Sydney Olympic.
Okay, look, all I say to that is believe in it, get behind us, support us, rain, hail or shine, and we will deliver something special for everybody.
Okay, now let's talk about Sydney Olympic. Okay. Olympic is a team founded and largely supported by the Greek community of Sydney. Mm. The name Damon Hanlin might not sound Greek, but you are definitely of Greek background. Please elaborate on your Greek origins for those listeners, viewers who don't know you.
I'd love to, yeah, sure. So my name at birth is Damon Hatzimanolis. I was born to an immigrant Greek father, Nikos, from Kalymnos, and I was born in Australia, but we grew up on the Central Coast, and obviously with having an ethnic name of that length, there were certain comments and the like, so my father decided to what we call shorten it up, modify it, and I became Hanlin, which just sounds more Chinese probably than Greek, but you know, it's been my name ever since, but I still bear the name in my passport and my heritage.
And Damon is the Greek name, Damon.
Or Damon.
That's how you were baptized.
That's right.
Do you keep in touch with Greece and Kalymnos, possibly?
I do. I love the place. I'm very proud of my Greek heritage. I enjoy the food, probably a bit too much. I certainly love the homeland. It's a beautiful place, and I'm very proud.
You are a businessman.
I am.
And a successful one.
Thank you.
When, how, and why did you get involved with Sydney Olympic?
It was completely random. Obviously a fan as a young boy, sort of loved the game, always have loved the game, and probably drifted a little bit away with my business. And to be really honest with you, I didn't even know Sydney Olympic had existed in my 30s. I thought it had all diminished after the NPL, the NSL demise. The president of the time, Bill Pappas, reached out to me through a common lawyer friend and had asked to come to a lunch. And it was pretty simple. We sat at a sushi restaurant and he looked me in the eyes, and said, would you like to help me with the club. And I said, which club? And he told me it was Sydney Olympic. And I started laughing, truth be told, and said, I thought that was gone. He said, no. He explained to me the background, and I didn't even think about it. I said, absolutely, I would. I had a lot to give. You know, I have been successful, and, you know, it's for a community, my community, and I didn't need any more convincing than that.
I was going to ask that, did you have the sense that you are returning to your community at large?
A lot, yeah. Yeah, I do. I enjoy it because I see my father coming to the games, and he's, you know, re-immersed with his friends from the old time. I like being part of the Greek community, absolutely. I think it makes my family proud. And I also like to think that we're doing something special. It's one of those rare opportunities for us that still keeps us together, I think, as a fabric of society, of Greek culture.
So I'm going to ask the following, and you can answer any way you want.
Okay.
Till this day, how much money have you lost from your involvement with Sydney Olympic? And if you're wondering why I'm asking, it is because from conversations with some, if not all, your predecessors and other soccer officials, they all told me the same thing. Financially, they lost by getting involved with Olympic. They gain maybe otherwise fame, in inverted commas, which I don't really think so, some kudos or some stance in the community, but financially they are lost. Is this the case with you? And if you want to reveal us, to us how much?
It's a big number for most people to fathom. It's millions. In the years that I've been there, it's in the multi-millions of dollars that I've sunk into the club. Quite often I don't look at it as though it's a loss, though. I certainly don't do it for fame. I'm actually quite the opposite. I'm quite reclusive.
Low-key, as we say.
Very, very quiet. So I do it for the love of the game. My main buzz is to see the players. I really love to see the players succeed and go on to something special. I obviously think that's a really cool outcome. It's community-based, so I give back to the community, both not only with money but also with time and my knowledge and expertise. But, yeah, the numbers are enormous. It's very hard to close the gap and make money at the NPL level. In fact, it's impossible. So it's a charity. It's a charity, and that's how I treat it. Some people are religious-based. Mm-hmm. Football is my religion in many ways. But, yeah, I think I'll probably leave it at that in terms of numbers.
Since you're a football lover from your childhood, what were the teams that you were supporting as a child and possibly do support now still in your adulthood, as we say, in Greece, in England?
So there's four.
Apart from Olympic.
So apart from, Sydney Olympic was the obvious one.
Yeah.
Liverpool Football Club.
Okay.
And it was because there's a young boy, Craig Johnson.
The Australian.
Yeah, was the first Australian player, and he joined, and I was a kid, and he had this long hair, and I watched him, and I was just mesmerised. So I chose Liverpool with Dad.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other reason. And I got to meet him last year, which was really exciting, I thought.
He has changed a lot, I have to say.
He has. From
the glory days.
Much so, yeah. Age is not favourable sometimes. Juventus in Italy.
Okay.
And again, watching it on SBS as a kid, you know, and the flares and the stadium filled with crazy fans was just, I don't know, it was crazy stuff. And in Greece, only because of my father, it's Panathinaikos, the Green Machine. Okay, my uncle disagrees, but that's
do you
what
know
we
who
do.
You're talking to?
Oh, really?
A very fanatic supporter of Panathinaikos.
Okay, cool.
So far, both in Italy, I'm Juventus too, and in England, Liverpool. For another reason, because when I was a kid, I'm a bit older than you.
Yeah,
it was Kevin Keegan,
yes,
the big star.
Yes.
So because of Kevin Keegan, I went to Liverpool. And because I'm Panathinaikos and I love the green color, not the red color of Liverpool, you probably know this. In the last few years, some of the jerseys, Liverpool, I think the away ones for Europe, they were all green.
Correct.
So we bought it with my sons and we have framed Liverpool with green jersey.
I love it.
Back to Olympic.
Yeah.
What are the key challenges Sydney Olympic is currently facing in terms of administration, finance, or even facilities?
Yeah. Let's touch on the facilities. Probably has been the most single difficult journey for us as a club. I guess over the years we've been through a multitude of facilities. We seem to have a legacy of upset councillors and politicians for whatever reason and opinions. I've tried so hard to do different things, even privatising a piece of land at the moment and looking for investment. So, you know, facilities are most difficult. The Bulldogs in particular, whilst, you know, we have a nice relationship, they're difficult. They've obviously got their eyes on the prize and you know, they're a big club and they're getting their way at the moment. So they're making it very difficult for us. And you can see the condition of the field. You know, it's I don't want to say disrespectful, but, you know, it's not fair that we're being treated the way we are, but it is what it is at the moment. So that's the biggest problem.
So the home ground, basically.
The home ground. So
that's why you moved to Kogarah Jubilee Stadium.
Yeah, well Kogarah for me...
Partially.
Yeah, it's partially. It was predominantly for the championship, and I think the way we play football, we actually play football. We're very technical, and the only way to do that is on a grass pitch of that quality. And secondly, I do believe that if you have a stadium of that calibre, people will come and enjoy the experience. So we're hoping that's a big gamble, but that's what we want. Training fields is what we're working on at the moment. It's an ongoing battle. It's difficult. It's a lot of money.
Did you imply that you are looking at a piece of land to become the permanent base for Sydney Olympic?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yes.
Anything to announce? Scoop, maybe?
Yeah, I can give you a scoop. Look, it's a piece of land at Moorebank. It's not currently available in terms of what we want it to be, but it's an opportunity. There's a secondary one, but meaning that the club may have to move away from its heartland.
Which is the Canterbury region. Because this segment goes nationally, can you remind our listeners where Moorebank is in Sydney?
Yeah, so Moorebank's a little bit further to the west, southwest of where we are currently in Belmore. It's probably about 15 kilometres that way. It sits on the river, which is the Georges River, which is sort of bounding our territory.
Towards Bankstown?
Correct, mm-hmm. Correct. It's a nice piece of land. It's substantial, so it means multiple fields and has an ability potentially to even build a small stadium there. And the best thing about it is it's private. So the club would own it. And again, I'm not doing it for a real estate play for myself. I'm trying to leave the club in some state for its first time, okay, let's be real, that has an asset that can give the club its strength. Okay,
I think Olympic is one of the, if not the only historical club with no house, no home of its own.
It is.
Once upon a time, they used to describe us as gypsies because we always used to move around Sydney to find a place to play our home ground matches.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just to be clear, these new facilities, if everything goes well, are they going to belong to the current Sydney Olympic or to the other Sydney Olympic that will play in the new competition?
It'll belong to the membership-based club, the community-based club, but it'll depend on who invests and how, okay, and the structure of the financial deed. Okay, obviously people don't want to invest without losing their money. It's very difficult to find people that are just looking at it from a charity perspective, which I understand and respect, but it's not again for me, and I would hand that over at my time when I'm finished. Yeah.
Will the members be able to contribute financially?
Absolutely.
The financial members of Sydney Olympic, they can contribute in some way.
Yes, so the true financial members would definitely be welcome. And once we're finished building our little investment pack, which is hopefully due at the end of this year, we'll put that out and maybe we come back on and I can talk to you about that.
Oh, yeah, I would love to have you again here.
Thank you.
What can you tell us about the evolving of the club, especially in terms of the youth development and the community engagement?
Yeah. From a youth perspective, we're, for the last few years, and I hope people notice this, have been creating an immense amount of talent. And from a points championship perspective, we're right up there with the A-League clubs. And that's an immense achievement considering each year the A-League clubs come down and take out, you know, 6, 7, 8 of our star players and then go into the A-League system, right? So to be able to continue to maintain what we're doing, I think the club is doing a fantastic job. The women's program has been a little bit more difficult and we go through ups and downs there. But George Beltzos, who's back in the club and very happy to have him back, is doing a great job now turning that around. And we're investing a little bit more there because there's a future in that space as well. From the other perspective with the club, look, it's becoming more and more difficult to attract the membership base. And I think that's sort of the question you're alluding to with that. Social media seems to be more of a place where people come on and voice an opinion, and quite often it's misguided or incorrect or just I'm not really sure what the intention of that commentary is. I much prefer, and we've tried this, where we invite the fan base. We tried to have fan forums to come in and talk and hear what the club's actually doing and invite ideas. and we probably will do that again. But again, everything takes a lot of time and effort, and sometimes our focus slips because we do run on the smell of an oily rag. It's hard to keep costs down while producing a product.
Damon, to be very frank, this is the first time after so many years that I hear from the lips of the leader of Sydney Olympic, the president, that the membership is open.
Absolutely.
I don't know where this impression was created from, that Sydney Olympic had no more open its doors for members, financial members.
Yeah.
But I hear otherwise from you, and that pleases me, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I hope people that are listening now and or seeing our interview and they want to become financial members of the club to approach the administration. It's so simple.
It's that simple. We encourage it, and we'd love financial members to come back to the club. Absolutely.
And since we're talking about members, let's talk about the fan base.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we do not see many Olympic fans either at Belmore or Kogarah, where Olympic this day gives its home matches. There are some who say this is the situation since the abolishment of the NSL and the exit of teams like Olympic from the big league. You think that is the main reason?
It has a part of that, yeah. I really do. Look, I mean, football fans like you to be at the top of anything that you can be at. You know, we have a fickle fan base. Greeks, if they're not winning, I guess they don't like it, which I understand. But secondly, I don't think they also appreciate that being in the second division and a state competition, it's lost its shine. I encourage this vision or thought pattern. I say this to everybody that I come across at the game, and quite often I talk to the fans that are there. You know, you want to go back to there, we have an opportunity, but the only I can't do it on my own. The best way to get the boys and the club back to where it needs to be is to come and join. And bums on seats, is the way to do it. It's a great afternoon. It's actually very good football, you know, and I think also today, kids in particular are distracted. There's so many things at their fingertips, you know, electronic devices and all these other factors that weigh heavily. But I funnily enough have seen that the A-League does produce fan bases. It has it, and I don't think it's because of the product as much. I think it's because of the fact that it's top flight football, it's televised, you know, and people have this sort of feeling that that's where they want to watch the football.
One compliment I have got from my three boys is the following. Thank you, Dad, for letting us know that football is not a TV product. The best football you watch it at the stadium.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In any case, Damon, the fan base, the main fan base of Olympic, remains the Greek community of Sydney. And hopefully we will see more fans in the new competition that will begin in October this year. However, at this point, I want to say that Sydney Olympic today has met the main base, the Greek community. How can we approach the community at large, if I can say it simply, the non-Greeks? Because once upon a time, I remember, I think it was 1989, when was the last NSL we won? Was it 89 or 90 in 89. Parramatta Stadium with Marconi?
89, yeah.
The next day, the Sydney radio stations, they were celebrating as if the whole Sydney had won the national championship. And we were playing against Marconi, another Sydney team. However, it seemed that most people in Sydney were affiliating themselves with Sydney Olympic.
Yeah.
I was a new migrant then, and I thought, what a potential there is for Sydney Olympic, really, to keep its Greek fan base, but at the same time attract the whole city of Sydney. I don't think that eventuated, but is it feasible for something like that to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. And I probably go back a few years ago to a board meeting in which I spoke and documented this very much fact that I say, that while Sydney Olympic must and always will protect and preserve its heritage as the Greek founding clubs, our future doesn't lie there necessarily. Obviously, we want to encourage that and be proud of that, but the whole of Sydney is the community that we want to attract, and that has to be football-related. And this is something that I've worked on quite hard. I mean, Belmore's become not so much a Greek-orientated suburb anymore. You know, if you look at the demographic, it's shifted to Arabic and Indian and Chinese.
Yes.
They not necessarily follow our sport, but we do have a lot of those kids coming through the club now. So you see a different variation to the fan base.
Those other ethnic communities, are they represented in the small teams of Olympic, you know, the under-17s, under-16, 17, 15s, etc.?
Yeah, there is. We have quite a range.
Because there was once upon a time almost 99% of the kids that were playing in the academies, they were of Greek background.
They were.
But I think that must be changing now. By now,
it has changed. A lot more Arab background kids. But mm-hmm. to be honest with you, the kids through the junior ranks, we still have a very strong Greek presence. This year, we've debuted 3 players from Greek heritage from our club.
And that's very important too.
Very important.
The traditional fan base wants to hear and see kids, players from the Greek community.
They do. Yeah. And I want to touch on that a little bit because I hear that quite often, and especially in the first grade. And I'm very aware of that, regardless. First and foremost, I think we're always looking for the best performing player, regardless of background.
That's the approach, the right approach.
But secondarily to that, we have approached on so many occasions Greek players. And whether it's attitude, skill level, or expectation that they're doing us a favour, it doesn't actually work out for us as a club. And it's disappointing. And this year we approached 3 or 4 Greek players, and all of them
declined.
Let us down through different reasons, and it wasn't the club's doing, and including where we offered some significant money for one star player to come back. So for the fans and everyone listening, it's not always about us just turning our back on it. It has to be also the playing groups that want to come and believe in the badge. And we get players that don't have Greek heritage that believe in the badge more.
And I can recall many names.
Yeah, many, many names.
In that category.
Yeah, yeah.
The pioneers, the Greek migrants,
yeah.
This is the sad reality, are gradually leaving us.
Yeah.
We can see very few old, loyal fans still talking and shouting in Greek during the games.
Yeah.
And we love them.
Very much.
And we appreciate them wholeheartedly. But the fan base more and more consists of Greek Australians born here, raised here, like yourself.
Yeah.
So how is the club engaging, if I can describe it as the next generation or generations of the supporters?
Yeah, it's a great question. We saw a glimpse of it when we had the South Melbourne-Sydney Olympic game at Oakey Jubilee, if you recall.
I was there.
A few years ago. Yeah, no, yeah, you were there. And
about 2 years ago, I think.
That's correct. And we really targeted it at a time when that was middle of summer. It was a trial match, effectively.
January, was it?
In January, yeah, 20-something, correct.
Peak of the summer. Where people have other things on their mind, but they came there.
They turned up in droves. And honestly, I remember walking onto the pitch and looking back to the stadium, and it was 4,000 people. And I was blown away. And mainly because there are people there that genuinely have this interest and looking at this kind of competition. So that was a tick for that.
And that was a friendly game.
It was just a friendly
game. In essence. I know there was a trophy, but...
It was a friendly game.
Yeah.
We turned it into a bit of a hype.
Yeah.
And we wanted to play for something. But the interesting thing was at that moment was against the A-League, which was in the Unite round. Yeah. And we produced one of the better crowds. Okay. And it showed me at that point that there is a community there, and it was predominantly Greeks. Some faces I recognised and others not so. New faces. But very exciting. We haven't been able to keep that level at the moment.
Grandmothers I saw there.
There were grandmothers.
I know what I'm talking about.
My auntie turned up. Well, thank you, Thea, but, you know, she came and fanned at the game. So it gave me a little bit of a boost. Look, social media is seemingly the only platform at the moment that they all respond to, the young kids. We do a lot behind the scenes. So we visit schools. Ziggy Gordon in particular goes out with some of the players, and we visit schools on a regular basis trying to promote and trying to do it. Again, the problem is trying to give away merchandise and trying to get the buy-in costs money, and we're very limited to our resourcing. I think this is one of the reasons today why I came in here, to try and probably encourage everybody again to come down. It's a couple of hours out of your day, and it's quite an experience, as you touched on, you know, and it's bloody good football.
Yes.
You know, it's classic football.
I agree. This year the team plays good football.
Thank you.
And talking about good football, let's talk a bit the current state of the first team.
Yes.
They say that the first team of the club is the flagship of the club.
Yeah.
Today, when this session is recording this interview, Sydney Olympic, I believe, after 21 matches, is standing in the 7th position. Mm-hmm. And we are hopeful that it will make the final series. And I say we, because I admit I'm also a fan of Sydney Olympic as a member of the Greek community.
Thank you.
There are 9 rounds left, I think. Are you happy with the current state of the team? Are they meeting your expectations?
It's a great question. Honestly, yes. It's probably the closest and tightest knit group that we had of talented footballers in the last few years. Again, strategically, we have deliberately chosen not to go with the old classic guard of NPL football players and compete at the highest level through money. Okay, some of the other clubs have chosen to do that. We have proven ourselves over the years, and when we want to win it, I've won it twice with the club, you know, and I did that very well, and we were very proud, but it comes at a cost. So for the team that we have today, we have some exceptional football players in there, and they're finally starting to gel and come together, and it's all for the purpose of the championship and giving them regular football. We have 3 additions that have come into the squad today. I'm not sure whether I'm able to disclose them completely, but one is a very, very big A-League player that has decided to join us, and we're very excited. And another very exciting attacking player, and we've signed 2 younger guys from the other day.
The reason you're not announcing the names is because their signatures have not been put on paper?
They were done today. I believe, I wasn't sure, I tried to check whether if they'd actually been registered with the Football New South Wales. If they're online, I'd happily negotiate some terms with yourself, Emmy, to tell you who they are. But look, it'll add a lot of substance to the team. We have had a lot of injuries, like everybody, I guess. That's fine. We're looking forward to the return of Connor. Very, very big loss early in the season. You know, so he's a week away from coming back into full combat. I think we're going to surprise this competition. I think we have a lot to give, and if we're allowed to play the game, we can. And you know, some of the other teams, they play a tough brand of football, and you know, they get away with murder. And I'm not going to go there, but we have something special. Mark my words, when I feel it in my bones, we succeed, and I feel it.
With those very encouraging and optimistic words, I will say to you that I've exhausted all my questions.
Okay.
I don't know if you have a last message you want to send out to the fan base, to the Greek community, to the football lovers.
Yeah. Honestly, believe in the game. Love the game that it is. Don't fight amongst ourselves. Unite. And you know, we're up against other codes of football in this country, and it makes it awfully difficult. If you truly love the game of football, just come down at grassroots level that we are and follow us, support us, get behind the boys, win, lose or draw, and be positive. And you know what? When you think and feel positive, you get positive outcomes.
Damon, we are called the Greek Language Program of SBS Radio. We are here to serve the Greek-speaking community of Australia. Therefore, regard this program, this station, as an ally of yours in the promotion of football and the club. The same applies, of course, to South Melbourne Hellas and all the other Greek football clubs. I want to thank you sincerely for coming to the studio today, for the time you devoted, for your insights. We wish Sydney Olympic every success as it embarks on this ambitious new journey in the B League or the National Second Tier. I believe fans across Australia, and especially in Sydney, will be watching with great interest and pride. Thank you.
I'll close off with a Nifkata Stormi Themi. A bit of Greek for you. I hope that's okay. Thank you for your time and support, and we look forward to delivering on my words.
Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.